I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh, and all of you be still. Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh, and all of you be still. Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. 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 I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, ever worship you. I can only imagine.
Turn with us over in the Gospel of Luke in the 10th chapter. Luke in the 10th chapter. So good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. If you're a visitor today, just make yourself right at home. We appreciate you being here. Sister Connie was mentioned, good to see Brother James and Sister Claudia back, and Brother Eugene been down under the weather, but Brother James fell on his motorcycle, and I just want to remind him, you know, when he gets to be our age, you have to remember when you stop, put your foot down. No, it was a dog cut right out in front of him there, and he wasn't going fast, thank the Lord, and but he was just barely moving, and he just went over, but I think he learned a valuable lesson. Amen. Next time, run over the dog. No, I'm just kidding. James over here said, no, don't run over my dog. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let me share this with you. Have you heard about the man that every time one of his friends made a mistake, he would disown them. He had the loneliest funeral that you ever did see. Amen. So that's food for thought this morning. Amen. So don't cast your friends aside when they make a little mistake, else you won't have nobody at your funeral. Amen. Luke's gospel in the 10th chapter, verse number 41 this morning. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away her." Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity you've allowed us, the privilege to be able to be here today. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that your presence would be felt and known in every heart, that this word, God, that's able to meet every one of our needs and speak to us all simultaneously, Father, would come and find good ground in each one of our lives this morning. Father, that we would leave here the way that we should. And Lord, we just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Connie had already said this is Palm Sunday, and we know that we celebrate Palm Sunday because it's the day that Jesus rode in on the little donkey into Jerusalem, knowing that he was going there to be crucified. Amen. And he knew what he was doing. He knew he would meet with the disciples. He would break bread with them, the Lord's Supper, communion, and go to the garden and pray. He knew all this. He knew what was ahead of him, but yet he went into Jerusalem anyhow. Amen. We'll be talking a little bit more about that tonight. If you'd come back tonight, I urge you to be here at 6 o'clock. Come early and get into the library back there and check it out. I challenge you to do that. Amen. We understand that by Tuesday evening that Jesus has been taken, and by late Wednesday afternoon he dies on the cross, and they put him and bury him. It's not on Friday. A lot of people say, well, Jesus died on Friday, you know, because they call it Good Friday, and he resurrected Sunday morning. Well, that's not 3 days and three nights that he'd be in the heart of the earth that he said in Matthew 12:40. So he died on a Wednesday. Good Wednesday is what it should be. And we might teach a little bit on that Wednesday evening if you come back 7:30. Amen? How many knows we had church on Sunday night? Y'all didn't know that. And Wednesday evening too. Wow. Yeah. You learn a lot of stuff for coming. Amen. Brother Josh brought the word Wednesday evening. Amen. We see here that Jesus has gone to Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house and begin to teach the people, and all of them was sitting around Jesus, including Mary, and Martha was busy, cumbered about much serving and doing things, and she notices Mary over there at Jesus' feet, not helping her get all these things that was seemingly so important. And she goes to Jesus and she says, "Jesus, don't you care about me? Look at me, I'm having to do all this serving," and look at Mary, she's just sitting there. And he says, "Martha, Martha, you're troubled and cumbered about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away her." Amen. That's what we're talking about this morning. He says, "You're careful, Martha, about many things." Careful means to take thought. Remember what he says in Matthew's gospel in the 6th chapter in verse 33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." In that same scripture there, he says, "Take no thought what you shall put on and what you shall eat or what you shall live." Take no thought. Don't let that be your priorities in life. Your priorities in life should be, what can I do to please the Father? How can I live my life the way God has instructed me to live my life and do the calling that he has put in my life? You know, every one of us sitting in this room has a calling of God. Amen. He told Jeremiah in the 1st chapter, he says, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Amen. When you was a little speck in your mother's womb, God put a calling in you. When he put life in you, he put a calling in you. And there's a call of God in your life. And if you don't do anything with that calling, when you stand before him at the judgment, you'll have to give an account of why you did not do that calling that's in your life. Amen. Well, what is it? Well, you have to seek God, find it. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher when I was little and young, but when I began to seek God and follow him, he led me to this point of my life. Amen. So you need to realize and do your calling and quit playing around. Amen. He says, Martha, Martha, you're careful. You're too anxious about, and you're so divided that you just don't know what you're doing. You're troubled. You're distracted. You're careful and troubled. You're distracted. That's what trouble means, is distracted. Today, people are so distracted from the things of God. And that's what the enemy wants to do, is to distract you from doing what God has called you to do. Amen. Our job is to be like Mary and to sit at Jesus' feet and to please the Lord and listen to the instructions of the Lord. The wisdom coming from the Word of God and from the Lord. Amen. That he wants to share with us. To be distracted. Amen. That's what trouble means. You say, well, Brother David, I believe in Jesus, Brother David. Well, that's good that you do that, because the demons even believe in him and they fear and tremble. Amen. Well, I'll be all right, Brother David. I may not do, I might not be, real, excited about church and might just never come or might not be really doing much. But I believe in Jesus. Well, that's good. But what if you was up in an airplane at 10,000 feet and they show you a door and they say, just any moment you're going to bail out of that door. You're going to have to go out that door. You say, well, no problem, because there's a parachute laying right there and I believe in that parachute. Will that save you? No. What do you got to do? You got to put that parachute on. Just believing in Jesus is not good enough. You got to put him on. And how do you put him on? He says that we take up our cross daily and follow him. Amen. It's no longer all about me and not only about what I want and my desire, but what God has for me and my calling for him. Amen. That's what it's about. Amen. And see, as long as you live and you're riding along in that airplane until you have to go out that door and it's called death, an umbrella would do you fine. Amen. Just any kind of religion or any kind of belief will be get you through this life here. But when you come time to die, you better make sure you got the right parachute on. Amen. You better make sure you know the Lord and have done what God has called you to do. He says in Philippians 4:6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. I ask you this morning, look at the one next to you and say, do you have the peace of God? See, there's the world out there that they're trying to find peace. You know? Jimi Hendrix, when back in the, what, about 69, and that he was on the stage and he's tried women and drugs and everything this life has to offer. And he was in a concert, and after busting up his guitars and doing all the kinky things that he would do on stage, he fell to his knees and put his head between his knees. And he lay there in total silence, and there was thousands of people in the arena. In a few minutes, he raised his head up and he said, if anyone in here knows real peace, see me backstage. Evidently, no one in all those thousands and thousands of people that was cheering him on knew peace, because a few months later, he died of an overdose of drugs, searching for peace. People out there searching for peace in different relationships and searching for peace out of different bottles and different drugs and different things that would try to satisfy and find happiness. And it's the only place you can find it is in God this morning. I'm telling you, I've lived in the world. I've been out there. And the only real peace that you can find is in the Lord this morning. Can I get a witness to that this morning? It's the peace that passeth all understanding I'm talking about this morning. Hallelujah. It'll keep you. It'll keep your hearts. See, it won't allow you to get distracted with the things of this world. See, so many people this morning are so distracted, they don't have time for God. They're so distracted because they're searching for that peace. And those that has found peace has time to come to the house of the Lord. Amen? I mean, the world is out there in a rush, in a heated rush, but yet you that know the peace of God have took and stopped all that, and everything else is behind burner. And God is number one, and here is what I need most. It's what is in this building this morning, the Word of God, the Lord speaking to us. Amen. And cheering us on. Isn't it wonderful? He said in Luke's gospel in the 21st chapter, verse 34, he says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares." Overcharged, it means weighed down. He said, take heed. Don't get intoxicated on the things of this world. Take heed. He said, any time you be weighted down. There's a lot of people weighted down with everything out there in this world this morning. It's holding them back from serving God. Weighted down with surfeiting. What is surfeiting? Trying to seize it all. I mean, they're never happy. I mean, some people say, well, if I could just get $1 million, I'd be happy. And when they get $1 million, they say, if I could just get 2 million, I'd be happy. And then they get 2 million, they say, if I could just get 3 million. You say, Brother Dave, I ain't got 1 million. But you just want it. Says, if I could get 1,000, I'd be happy. But you get that 1,000, you say, if I could get 2,000, I'd be happy. No, you're searching and you're grabbing for the wrong thing. Amen. Glory to God. It's like the story, the song, the big auction of this man that had the fine art. He was known world round for having this art collection that was so rare that people just would envy him. And the man died. The man died. And he had a son that had died years before him. And all the art collectors from worldwide came, and they came into the room this day, and they're just all anticipating getting one piece of this priceless art. So the auctioneer got up and he put the picture of the man's son up there, just a little sketching of his son up there. And to the art world lovers, it didn't mean anything. It was worthless. He said, according to the will, we've got to auction this picture off first, this painting. And they'd be, can I get a bid? Can I get a bid? And they all holler, ah, man, get out. Go on with the auction. Just throw that aside. Let's go on. No, according to the will, this is what it is. And they said, can I have a bid? Can I open a bid? A bid, a bid. And there was a neighbor, a friend of the man that knew that young boy. And he says, well, says, I'll bid, and I don't know what he bid, something, maybe $20, $25, $5, was it $5 in the song? Thank you, Sister Wanda. I'll bid $5. He said, I'll give $5. I got $5. Got here $5. I'll get a 10. Can I get a 10? Get a 5. They said, go on with the auction. Just sell it. Call it sold. And after a while, the gavel went down. It sold, and the man bought it for $5. And he says, I'm pleased to announce that the auction is over. They said, what? The auction's over? What are you talking about? Says the one that got the son got it all. You got to understand, Jesus is the son, and when you get the son, you get it all. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When you get the son, you get it all. And people out there that don't want the son, and they're out there digging and scratching and trying to get ahead, and all they need is the son this morning. They're walking in darkness, and they're without. They're trying to seize it all. But Jesus says, what if a man gain if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? He says, be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, that's intoxicated on the world. Which the Bible says in verse 33, the scripture right before this, it says that heaven and earth shall pass away. People are out there trying to get the world, and it's all going to pass away. You're laying up your treasures here on this earth, and it's all going to be burnt with fire. What good will it be? What good would it be? It's sad, isn't it? The cares of this life. What does the cares of this life mean in that scripture? It means things that pertain unto life. They're seeking after the things that pertain unto life.
And they don't realize what the Word of God says in 2 Peter 1:3. He says, according as His divine power hath given. That means already given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through what? The knowledge. The knowledge. You see, people need to be seeking the knowledge of the Lord rather than the things. Amen. Because when you get the knowledge of the Lord hath given us all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When will we ever learn? Amen. Glory. Don't be after the things. Look at the one next to you. He said, don't be after the things. Be after the knowledge of the Lord. He says in Deuteronomy 29:29, he said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Amen. Glory. See, that's the problem. People in the world, they're in darkness. And the treasures that God has here upon this earth, they're hid from them. But when you come unto the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord opens up unto you the treasures, and you find the treasures, they belong unto you and to your children. Amen. I'm so glad this morning. My dad, when he died, he did not leave me $1 million. He did not leave me fortunes. Amen. He did not leave me Rolls Royces. In fact, when he died, my sister took care of my mom and daddy, lived right there in their same yard. And I just told my sister, I said, you can have it all. You can have this place and the cars. You took care of them and you did a good job. And I don't need any of that. Amen. Because I know what He gave me when I was a little boy. He took the treasures of God and He passed them on to me. Amen. He said, it is yours and your children. I ask you this morning, what are you passing on to your children? What are you giving your children? What are you passing on? Are you passing on worldliness and the things of this world? Are you passing on the knowledge of eternity, of God? Hallelujah. I would rather my dad gave me what he gave me than all the money in the world. Hallelujah. It's priceless. Priceless. Glory. How wonderful God is. Over in Luke's gospel, it's the parable of the sower. I don't want to go through the whole thing. You read it when you get home. But the one that fell among thorns is what we're talking about this morning. In verse number 14 of the 8th chapter, read the whole parable when you get home. If you read the parable, read a little further and he explains the parable. And he says, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. There's a lot of people in the world that way today, even in the church world, that they come and they hear the Word of God and they get a little tinkle up their backbone, and they feel a little squeeze in their heart and they get a little tear in their eye. But they leave and they go. Like James says, he's like a man looking into a mirror and going his way, forgetting what manner of man he was. You see, when you come into a forum like this, all I am is a dresser. And I hold a mirror up to you and let you see yourself. See, I've already looked in the mirror when I studied it, and it showed me myself. Amen. And I hold the mirror up and you see the flaws in your life. When you compare yourself in the world, I'm doing good. I'm not like that man over there. And I'm not like that one over there. I'm a pretty good dude, you know. But whenever the Word of God is held up to you, which is pure, amen, and you look in that mirror and you say, oh, I got some flaws in my life. And you know why? It's not that He came into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, amen. He's not coming this morning to condemn you, your flaws, but He's coming, He said, I want you to get the flaws out that you can live with me forever. Hallelujah. But what happens? We see the flaws and we know there's something wrong in our life, and we sit there, we hold the pew, and we get up and we leave and we go on our way. And the cares, what? And the riches and the pleasures of this life choke the Word, that we don't feel that anymore.
We don't feel it anymore. And we go about our way. We forget what manner of man we was. Amen. Martha. That's what Martha was. Mark's gospel parallels that in the fourth chapter, verse 19. He says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Amen. In other words, the word has no effect on them. Many today, because they're wrapped up in the world, the word of God has no effect on them. It's sad. But he says in 1 John 2 and 15, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, don't let the world be your God. Don't let things be your God. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. I'll get into that in a minute. There's nothing wrong. That's all. But when you put that as your God, Brother Josh even mentioned Wednesday night, your children can be your God. There's some people that put their children ahead of God. Their wife or their spouse, their job, their car, their fishing, their habits, their pleasures. I'm not talking about vacations. Get it right. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. But if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, a lot of good study in it. You need to study when you get home. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And what happens to the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth. How long? Forever. So what are you doing today? You say, well, Brother David, what am I? Well, where are your priorities? If you want to know where you're at this morning, let me talk to you for a few minutes and see where your priorities are at. Amen? I can tell you where you are. In other words, it says where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Where your priorities are at, that's where your love and your attachment and your time is going to be. Amen? Brother Kevin loves fishing. And boy, I ain't never seen nobody love get on the water like that. But and there's nothing wrong with that. Because he still loves God, and God comes first in all of it. He's got on his boat. What does that say on there? Sponsored by Jesus Christ. Amen? He knows. See our priorities. We just need to get our priorities right. How many agrees with that? How many believes that the world and even the church world has their priorities kind of screwed up? We need to get them. Our priorities. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? 2 Timothy 4 and 10, Paul said that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world and is departed. How many people in the church world has departed from God and because they love this present world? Forsaken God. Forsaken. He said in Hebrews 10:25, he says, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves. And the much more, as we see that day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves, as the manner is many is. And the more we need to be at church more. He said, Brother Dave, y'all come Sunday morning to Sunday school at 10 o'clock for a whole hour. And then you go worship service for God knows how long you're going to preach. And then you come back Sunday night and y'all even have the audacity to come back at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. How much more do y'all need? I think the way we live it, we need it every night. Read the book of Acts. Paul preached up to midnight and the guy fell out of the window. Sleep fell out. Amen. Down to the ground. They went out there. It's amazing when people fall asleep, they fall out of the church. They never fall in. They fall out of the church, you know. They go outside and get him, you know, because the animal's underneath him. Get him, pray for him, you know. He's dead. Got him back alive, brought him back to the church, and went on about mourning. Now, what if I was a preacher like that? Yeah, baby. I'd have a packed house short of one. Oh, help us. Like the old fella, he got up. Started walking out, and the preacher said, hey, man, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get a haircut. I said, man, why didn't you get a haircut before you came? He said, I didn't need one before I came. Kind of long-winded. Help us, Lord. How many today in the church world like Demas, forsaking the calling of God for their own things? Haggai 1:4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? In other words, for you to do your own things that you think is so important and forsake God's calling. I don't think it's time to do that. He says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about your ways. Think about your, not the guy next to you. Think about you. You have sown much and you bring in little. In other words, you have no fruit laid up for eternity. But you're all time going and you're doing, you're working, you're slaving, and you're just doing everything you can do in 24 hours of a day. But yet you're laying zero up for eternity. But you have not enough. You eat, but you have not enough, he says. In other words, this goes back to that. If I could make 1,000, I'd be happy. Then you want 2,000. Huh? If I could just get me just some kind of car, I'd be so happy. And then you want a better one. I mean, it never stops, does it? We're never content. You drink, but you have not filled with drink. You're not satisfied. Mick Jagger's still singing it now. I'm surprised he's still alive. I can get no satisfaction when he's tried everything in the world. Don't follow me. I can't get no satisfaction. You clothe you, but there's none warm. There's no peace. You can find no peace. He that earneth wages to put it in bags with holes. Amen. As fast as it comes, as fast as it goes. What did he say in verse 7? Consider your ways. I mean, if you don't have peace this morning and you know, you want me to hurry up and get through where you can get out of here this morning, consider your ways. Amen. The door's open. It's not locked. Amen. If that's the Lord calling, tell him I'll call him back. Thank you. Luke's gospel, the 18th chapter, it tells a story of this young ruler, rich, very rich, young ruler, comes to Jesus and says, what can I do? And he says, you know the commandment. I shall not kill, I shall not steal, honor your father and mother. He said, this I have done from my youth up. And Jesus said, yet you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And the Bible said that the rich young ruler went away very sad because he was very rich. You see, Jesus knew that was his priority. That was his God. That was his distraction. It wasn't nothing wrong with being rich. Abraham was really rich. Amen. Solomon, look at the man, David. And when Jesus saw that it was very sorrowful, verse 24, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into heaven. He said, it's not impossible. But what happens, that camel has to get down to go through that sheep gate. He has to get down on his knees, humble himself, and unload all those distractions off his back that is weighting him down, you know, overcharged, weighted down. And get all that stuff off and get down on his knees and he can crawl through there. Amen. That's the way it is. We have to lay aside every sin and the weight which does so easily distract us. Amen. You see, God's not against riches. Look at the one next to you and say, God's not against riches. Listen to him up there. But when they become a distraction to us, that's where it becomes a problem, because it says no man can serve two masters, can he? Amen. Look what he said in Galatians in the 3rd chapter, verse 13. He says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, what's the curse of the law? It is sin, sickness, and poverty. That's the curse of the law. Sin, There was no sin to the law. Sickness and poverty. That's the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing, not blessings, blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Amen. So, in other words, he said, Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Well, what is the blessing of Abraham? I'm glad you asked that. Go to Genesis in the 12th chapter and verse 2 and look at the blessing of Abraham. And I will make thee a blessing. See, he went to Abram and he says, Abram, at that time as his name, said, come out from among your people, or come out from among the world and be ye separate. Same difference. And I'll make a great nation of you. And Abram did. He says that I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great. I ask you this morning, when people hear your name, what's the first thought they think? When they hear your name, what's the first thought they think? If they know you, know your reputation, what's the first thing they think about you? I wonder, when they hear David Whitfield, what's the first thing they... I don't know, a lot of times they say, you go over at David Whitfield's church. It ain't David Whitfield's church. It's Deliverance Tabernacle, the Lord's church. Amen? But they just know David Whitfield, he's pastor. I mean, what's the first things people... Make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God put something in us that we can bless the whole world with. What is that? The good news of the gospel, amen. In you, there's life. You hold the words of eternal life. What do we do with them? What do we do with them? He says, I'll make a great nation. I'll bless you. We're blessed because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, sin, sickness, and poverty. Amen. We don't need to be out there seeking riches when we need to be seeking God. Because in him, he owns it all. God has it everything, you know. He says, "Well, what is it, Brother Dave? The Abraham was great in riches, was he not? Read the Bible, study it. He had all kind of lands and cattle and riches. Amen. Abraham was so blessed. But why? Why? Because he put God first. Every time that they would move from one location to the other, what is the first thing that Abraham did? He built an altar. And he worshiped the Lord. Amen. He built an altar and he worshiped the Lord. The very first thing that he did, he put God first. And because he put God first, God blessed him. Amen. Look at the one next to you and said, I am blessed. I am blessed. Amen. I am blessed. Look at Deuteronomy in the 28th chapters. It's part of the blessing, the same blessing. Israel is part of Abraham and the same blessing. Deuteronomy in the 28th chapter, verse 14 verses. If you get over to the 15th, it's where the cursing is when you don't do what God asks you to do. Deuteronomy 28 and 1, what did he say? And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. How many wants to be set up above? Come on. And all these blessings shall come on thee, all of them, not just one or two of these, but all these in these scriptures here up to verse 14 will come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Now, if we're very smart this morning, we'll listen to the Lord. He says, verse 3, blessed thou shalt be in the city and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of the sheep. We say, Brother Dave, I don't have any cattle, but you got something of... Come on. Whatever you need in life, God will supply it. He said he's already given us all things. What do we want? We need God. God has it all. And if you're looking for the things of the world, if you're looking for success in this life of things, put God first and he'll bless you with those things. He'll give you the desires of your heart if you put him first. Well, Brother David, I've got to go do that. No, you're missing it. Put God first. I know it don't make sense to the world.
It did not make sense to the world for that woman in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings when the man of God comes along and all she has is a handful of meal and a little bitty oil and a cruse. And this old prophet of God comes along and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm gathering these sticks. Me and my boy got just enough for one more meal and we're going to eat it. We're going to die." And he says, "Well, go bring me some water. You know, and while you're at it, bring me a little part of that first. Well, all we got is this." But she went and she did. She made a little. She took that little handful and she made some bread and she brought it to the man of God. It don't make sense to the world. Boy, God hadn't really spoke to me till bring that last cake to me first. I mean, come on, wouldn't you? That's a problem with us sometimes. You know, we just don't be bold in the Lord. She brought it, Brother Wayne, back to the man of God. It represents the Lord, bringing it to the Lord. And I can see her, she goes back to maybe clean that little drum out, you know, before she dies, because they ain't got nothing else to eat, you know, and picks it up maybe to wash it out. It looks, and there's another handful of meal down in there, shows the world. They ate it that day, and next day, maybe she's going to clean that thing out again. I guess so. Well, let's have to die today. Well, wait a minute, son, we got to die today. There's another handful down here somehow. I believe after a while she just got coming through there. Oh, he done it again. Done it again. He done it again. He's done it again. I don't know how God does it. He told one prophet, he said, look, he said, just dig the ditches. Dig the ditches. He said, you won't see rain. You won't hear thunder and lightning, but the ditches will be full of water. I'm telling you, God don't have to work the way we think he works. God will work the way he works. Boy, if we could only get this thing, if we could only get this thing and realize that God has got to be number one. Everybody say number one. Who knows what one is? There's nothing ahead of it. First. Verse 5, it says, blessed shalt thou be in thy basket and in thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Woo, baby. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up. You got any enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face? That's why David says that he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know what that means? When your enemies out there is starving and ain't got nothing and they're out there fighting and squandering trying to get it. And there you are, so blessed. Got a big old table up here. Boy, you're just so blessed and they just look at you in envy. Well, what does he say do? If your enemy hunger, feed him. It's like putting hot coals on her head. Come on, man. We got it all. We got it all, man. Whew, if we could only grasp this thing this morning. Listen. It says, verse 8. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware to the fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure in the heavens to give rain to thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thy hands. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Come on, we should be lending and not borrow. You know, America, until they took prayer out of school, until they kicked them out of the government, I'm telling you, America was so blessed. Why? Because we supported Israel for one, but we was a Christian nation. our president now don't think we are, but I believe we are a Christian nation, amen. And we believe God. We lit to all nations. We didn't bar, we lit. We lit to all nations. And when they kicked God out of the school and out of the government and put homosexuals in the pulpits, what happened? America had to start barring, and now we owe so much. Why? Because we turned our back on God. We need to get back to God. How many agrees with that? Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I commanded this day to observe and to do, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I commanded this day to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Matthew 6:33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first in your finances. How? By tithing. When you seek God first in your finance, that means tithing. A tenth, 10%, as tithing unto the Lord. We've already taken up offering. We're not going to have another one next Sunday. I'm not a money preacher. I don't want your money. But you need to obey God. If you want God to bless that meal in the barrel, you better give him a tenth of it. My daddy always told me I'd rather have 90 cents with the Lord's blessing than a dollar cursed. Think about it. Amen? You want God to be bless your life, then put him first. In other words, God, order my steps. Help me to be a faithful witness for you. You want God to bless your home? Put him first. Be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Men, when you get up on Sunday morning, say, get up, children. Get up, wife. We're going to church. Said, Brother Dave, all hell will break loose in my house. Well, get it stirred up and get it out of your house. Sister Nancy sent an email around a church signs, and on there it says how to make holy water. You just boil the hell out of it. That's the way you get. Come on. You need to get the hell out of a lot of houses and a lot of relationships. Come on. So that God can be God in there. Put him first. Amen. Glory to God. Make God the nucleus of our life. What is that? That's the center. And everything else evolves around it. You know, I hear some people say, well, yeah, I didn't come Wednesday night because right when I was fixing to leave, I had company come in. Well, y'all think if they come to my house, what are they? I will say, well, I would go to church to speak tonight, but I got this company coming in. What y'all think I'd tell them? Let's go to church. Y'all come just in time to go to church. Hello? You don't think the devil had something to do with bringing them over? Hello? Hello? Especially if he knew he could talk you out of going. Hello? I'm almost finished. Those commandments. You see, the enemy wants to distract you from doing your work for the Lord. How many believes that? Because he understands souls are in the balance. Satan wants to stop you and flesh wants to stop you. Philippians in the 3rd chapter. Paul understood that there was things in this world that would love to preoccupy him, distract him from doing what God had called him to do. How many knows you're saved this morning? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand if you want to, but you can. How many you know for a doubt you're saved? You know for a doubt that God called you the day you got saved. I know he called me that day I got saved. Well, that he gave you a calling. Gave you something to do. You need to ask yourself today sometime, am I fulfilling what I've been called to do? How many has ever had a job? You get hired somewhere, you don't have nothing to do. Just come pick your check up. That's all you got to do. All you're doing is putting in a retirement plan. You ain't got to do nothing. You know, you just don't do anything. Just build up retirement till you get retirement age and retire and you draw a check the rest of your life. I don't think so.
Why is it any different in the kingdom of God? If I had to get up here and sweat, come on. Hello. Paul says, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I counted all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. You know what dung is? Body waste. The stinky kind. That's dung, that I may win Christ. I mean, people are out there forsaking the assembling together. They're out there, you know, working 7 days a week for dung. I mean, that's... Well, Brother Dave, I got to get ahead. But when they die, I told you before, I've preached a lot of funerals and somebody has to put them in that box. They can't even get in that box yourself. Somebody else had to buy that box. They couldn't pay for it. And I've never seen an armored car going behind a hearse. Not one penny. Not one thing. So what good is it? He said, I count it all dung that I might win Christ. Because if I hold on to these things, I can't hold on to Christ. I'll be divided. No man can serve two masters. I either got to go with the Lord or go with these things. Sister Connie was talking about, I'll let go of this. I'll let go of that, but not this. Well, that's the very thing you're going to have to let go of. Not that it's sin, but because you have made it sin. Brother Dave, I'd come to y'all's church, but praise God, y'all believe kind of strict, and I don't believe that way. Well, that's the very thing you got to lay down now. Oh, don't you come along and tell God how you going to live. Like my brother-in-law, when he got saved, you know, he told my sister, you know, finally went to church, he got saved, and he said, all right, I got saved. He brought up at a church. It wasn't Pentecostal. And I got saved. I hope y'all happy. Now. I'm saved. I'm saved. But that Holy Ghost stuff are rolling in the floor. I ain't going to do that. Oh, you ought not said that. You ought not said that. Said the night he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he rolled in the floor. I don't see many people roll getting the Holy Ghost. But, hey, he said he wasn't going to do it, so he had to do it. He rolled from that side of the building to that side of the building. Amen? Don't tell God. God is God. The created cannot tell the creator what to do. The sooner we learn that, the better we be. Amen. Look at the one next to you and say, are you Martha or Mary? He said that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you know him today? Paul said, I counted all those things dung that I could just know who this man Jesus is. I want to know him. I ask you, do you know him today? Have you put him on? Not just believe in him. Have you put him on? Do you know him in the power of his resurrection? Do you have a good relationship with Christ today? Are you Mary or are you Martha? You say, well, I guess sometimes, Brother Dave, I'm like Martha because you don't understand all the stuff I've got to do. I've got to do this and this and this and this. I just don't have enough time to fit in all the times that you expect us to be at church. I just don't have the time. Okay, Martha. I guess Mary had more than 24 hours in a day than you did, Martha.
Last time I checked, we all have 20, well, it's actually 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 56 seconds in a day. That's why you have leap year every so often. Catch up. And the last time I checked, it's the same for everybody. It's just where our priorities are at. That's all the difference. It's where our priorities are at. I did a wedding yesterday and I was talking to the groom. And something come up about how many weddings. I said, I've done a good many weddings. I said, I do more funerals than I do weddings. And they kind of looked puzzled. I says, but with weddings, I get two at one stone. But funerals, I have to do them separately. So I'll do twice the funerals I do weddings. I says, because we're all going to die. Hebrews 9:27 said, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Once to die. David Whitfield died about 30 years ago. Over in a little old town called Commerce, Georgia. This man you see up here, he died about 30 years ago. All I'm waiting on is judgment now. New man Jesus Christ resurrected and he rules my life now. Tells me where to go, what to do. Tells me how to live. Amen. And I ask you this morning, has he resurrected in your life? Are you Mary? Are you Martha? If you're Mary this morning, you're doing good. You're already at the feet of Christ and you're doing his will. You're doing what the Lord has asked you to do. But if you're Martha, you're distracted by something today and you're not really where you should be with God. Jesus said, Mary had chosen that one thing that's needful, that good part which shall not be taken away her. But Martha, she didn't have it. This morning, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you've never acknowledged Him, like some churches say, walk the aisle. It's just an acknowledgement that I need Christ. I'm lost and I'm undone. I'm distracted by so many things and I don't need these things. I need the Lord. And if you feel that you're like Martha, distracted today, away from the things of God, just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand and I want you to just come on this way and say, I'm going to shell off this Martha spirit that's on me and I'm going to get this Mary spirit that I could put God first in my life. I'm going to begin today. This is the first day of the rest of my life. Today is. You can't do nothing about yesterday. Today is. I'm going to start right now, today, and I'm going to start putting God first. And I'm going to try it for a while, see what it'll be like. I'm going to ask you to do that. Are you ready? On three. One, two, three. Stand. Come on. Obey the Lord this morning. Obey the Lord this morning. Obey the Lord this morning. Come on. Come on.